In the name of Jesus, amen. You've heard the story of Moses and the burning bush hundreds of times, I'm sure. But perhaps you've never thought of this reading from the book of Exodus sounding very much like the gospel narrative in Luke chapter 2 of the Christmas gospel. Think about it. In the same country, there was a mountain, Mount Horeb, and there was a shepherd abiding in the field. And he was keeping watch over the flocks of his father-in-law, that is, of Jethro, by night. And the name of the shepherd, yes, it was Moses. And behold, we are told that an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And when the shepherd Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. He wondered at the sight. As he drew near to look at it, the voice of the Lord came out of it, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and of Jacob." And the shepherd Moses trembled, and he hid his face, for the glory of the Lord had made him greatly afraid. And the angel of the Lord said to him again, "Fear not, for I have surely seen the ill treatment of my people that are in Egypt, and I've heard their groaning and their cries, and I have come down to deliver them. And now, come, and I will send you to Egypt. And this will be a sign unto you, this bush that burns with fire, and yet is not consumed." If this account sounds a little bit like the account of the Christmas gospel found in Luke chapter 2, it should. Because it is the very same Lord Jesus who is present in both narratives. Remember that the phrase "the angel of the Lord" is no ordinary angel. In fact, according to the usual definition of the word, this was not really an angel at all. Ordinarily, when we use the word angel in the Bible, or we see it in the Bible, we tend to think of those created beings that are spoken of in Scripture, who serve God day and night and who do His will in His temple. But as many of you already know, the word angel can also mean the word messenger. Or it can simply mean the phrase, "he who speaks on behalf of God." And so it can also then refer to men, those who are messengers of the gospel. Kind of like in the book of Revelation, it talks about the angels of the seven churches who are ultimately pastors to those seven churches. Now here, the term angel is used in the sense to refer to the Son of God Himself, the one who is the ultimate messenger and the only spokesman of the Holy Father. Moses consistently refers to the angel as God Himself. And so this is the angel of the Lord. This is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ before He was conceived of the Virgin, before He was born of flesh into our world, before He was sent by the Father to reveal His Word and His life to our dying and dead world. St. John expresses this in a grand mystery every Christmas morning when we hear the opening verses of his gospel, when he refers to the Christ as the one who is the Word who became flesh and literally tabernacled or dwelt among us. That is, as an uncreated and eternal and divine angel of the Lord, Jesus is both the messenger and he is the message. Jesus is God the Father's final word to us, a word of life and of love. For in the days of old, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, we are told in the book of Hebrews. But now in these last days, in these end times, he has spoken to us by his Son. So what we have here in this account of the Exodus, then, is what we term the pre-incarnate Christ, this angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, speaking to Moses. And notice how God descends to the earth, just as he did at Christmas time. And he does so in a very concrete and physical way. He appears as a flame within a bush. And so we see that our Lord, did he not call himself the light of the world? So this physical way in which God descends to us is also seen in the wood of the manger. As the Lord came down to our level, into the cradles of our flesh, into the cradles of all of our tragedies and all of our disappointments and all of our shame and all of our guilt and everything that causes us grief. Just as he did in the bush, when the eternal and the temporal were joined together, he appeared in a complete and eternally significant way as he did at Bethlehem, in order that he might come into contact with men, with us. For our salvation, he became man. He took on an earthly form that Moses, that we could grasp and that we could receive, we could hold and we could touch, we could eat and we could drink. And so in the incarnation, in the Word becoming flesh, we see the Creator entering into his creation in such a way that you and I, as sinful people, could approach him without fear, without being destroyed because of our sin and our shame. And so the burning bush, in many ways, is a prophetic event in the Scriptures. It literally foretells the time when Christ would come and descend to this world again, and do so permanently, taking on human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So this event in Exodus also tells us the reason for why our Lord's birth came forth at Christmas, why the Lord was incarnated into our flesh. The Lord Jesus announces to Moses from the bush that he has come to do something precisely for his people. He has come to save them. He has come to rescue them from their enemies. And in this case, he's referring particularly at this point in time to the Egyptians. But in that same way, Christ came down at Christmas to rescue all mankind from its enemies. Remember that Joseph and Mary were told when they were to name the child, they were to name the child Jesus. Why? Because Jesus essentially meant that he would save his people from their sins. That Jesus would do his name for us. That his name is literally a verb in the grammar. That our Lord descended to deliver us from our enemies who enslaved us. Not Egyptians in this case, but ultimately sin, death, and the devil. So he came to release us from our enemies, from the powers of the taskmasters and the devils that put us into bondage, and to free us from this oppressive bondage of sin and death. So by his holy incarnation, Christ became what we refer to as the new Moses, not the new lawgiver, but a greater Moses who leads us out of a kingdom of darkness and slavery into a new land, a promised land of new creation and of what we refer to as heaven in the Scriptures. So the one who appeared in a flame of fire said, Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. And when Moses looked at this burning bush, he marveled not only at the fact that it was talking to him, but he marveled at the fact that the bush was burning and it was not being consumed as you would expect fire to consume a bush of wood. This teaches us two things about our holy Christian faith. First, it teaches us about the union between God and man that took place at the conception and birth of Christ, that it is eternal and that it is everlasting. That is to say, Jesus is forever divine and human at the same time. Just as the bush never burned up, so the union between God and man will never, ever end. He is always going to be true man, even now as he is true God and sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he will always be our brother, come to be in our flesh, to sympathize with our weaknesses and to deal with them by way of his flesh, even though he is also at the same time God, putting all enemies under his feet by his divine nature. Second, and perhaps just as important, is the fact that the bush was not consumed teaches us why Christ came into our flesh and that he did not come to bring condemnation and judgment to mankind, but he came to bring salvation and redemption. For consider the fact that this fire was not a fire that destroyed things, as the text tells us. It was a fire that revealed things. It was a fire that proclaimed the words of deliverance and life. For Jesus said elsewhere in the gospel, he said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather in order that through the world it might be saved through him. So it is written, as we know, that no man, no sinner, you see, can see God or touch God and live. But in the burning bush, and especially in the Holy Child of Mary, sinful man can and does see God, hold God, touch God, receive God, albeit veiled in earthly human form and clothing. And trusting in this God who has become flesh, man is made holy and he lives forever. He is a new creation. So by taking on our human nature, what Jesus does is that he did not consume us nor did he annihilate us. Rather, he permeates us and he fills our lives with his very own life. That as we say in the Transfiguration proper preface, that he was transfigured that we might be partakers of his divine life. Or as the early church fathers would often say, he became like us so that we might become like he is. So the Lord Jesus revealed his name to Moses from the bush. He said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you, when Moses was afraid of what he was supposed to say to the people when he was coming to deliver them out of Egypt. And we know that our Savior Jesus is the great I am, the one who is and the one who was and the one who is to come. Jesus is the revelation of divine name. He says so. He teaches us. He says what? I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the door of salvation. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the one who has revealed himself to Moses in the branches of a bush, now taken on flesh and blood, in order that you might have life in me as you are branches of me. And in being joined to me, and in my flesh and in my blood, you draw your life from me. For how else do branches of a tree or branches of a bush draw its life than from the center, from the root of the tree? Apart from Jesus, we know this from nature, but we know it even greater by way of human nature. Apart from Jesus, the branches wither and they die, and they are burned up in judgment, a fire that does consume. But abiding in Jesus, however, the branches thrive and they share in that fire that does not consume but brings forth divine life, that purifies life and makes it holy and right. Jesus Christ is indeed a holy vine that took root in Bethlehem and that has now spread throughout the earth by way of the virgin birth. So truly then, the burning bush in the book of Exodus is a great sign of our Lord's coming at Christmas, at His nativity. It's a living prophecy to us Christians of His incarnation as we prepare together to celebrate the nativity of our Lord. May He grant us this flame of the fire of His own life, and that may enlighten your hearts with penitent faith and a holy love toward your neighbor. In the name of Jesus, amen.